الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد, respected listeners, in the last درس الحديث I spoke on the word إيمان, its definition and its various meanings when used in different contexts. And then we proceeded to study the first hadith of this book of faith related by Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. We move on to the next hadith, hadith number 9. With وبالإسناد المتصل منا إلى صاحب الكتاب عن أبي قال عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال I relate with a continuous chain to the author of the book Imam Bukhari رحمة الله عليه, who relates with his chain from Sayyidina Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he said الإيمان بضع وستون شعبة والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إيمان, faith, consists of 60 and some parts, and حياء is a part of Iman. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh has actually mentioned this hadith in the chapter Bab Umur al-Iman, chapter on the deeds of Iman, the deeds of faith. In my explanation of Iman, I briefly mentioned that the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe that Iman, when used in its general sense, consists of belief with the heart, proclamation and affirmation of that belief with the tongue, and acting on the dictates and the requirements of that faith and Iman with one's limbs by doing good and abstaining from sin. And I mentioned that we believe that a person's Iman is affected by good deeds, i.e. it is increased and strengthened. And conversely, it is also affected in weakness and in a reduction by committing sins. So therefore, one's deeds, good or bad, have either a positive or a negative impact on one's Iman. There is one group known as Murji'ah who believed that لا يضر مع الإيمان معصية, that any act of disobedience does not harm one's Iman at all. So as long as you believe and you say لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله and you claim to be a believer in Islam, a Muslim, then your Iman is intact and safe. And until you don't actually renounce that Islam, whether you do good deeds or not, whether you fulfill your obligations or not, whether you commit sins, of course we all commit sins, but whatever sin you may commit, none of this will have any effect on your iman. Your iman will remain preserved, whole, intact, and untouched. Now, obviously that's a very dangerous belief, because that opens the door for all evil. If someone believes that the whole requirement of Islam and Iman is simply to proclaim the faith, to profess the faith with one's tongue, and then not act on it, then that's a very evil claim indeed. And this will open the doors for all evil. It will open the doors for people to become relaxed, complacent, totally indifferent to the laws and commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see much evidence of that today. Though people may not necessarily adopt this belief officially, that we adopt the belief of the murji'ah, or we actually believe that no sin has any impact or any effect on a person's iman, and that a person's iman remains whole, complete, untouched, unaffected by disobedience. Although people may not officially state this policy, nor claim or admit to believing in this concept as a policy, the way some of us live our lives, it ultimately leads to that. And we see many people who like to believe of themselves and constantly say to others that I am a Muslim, and yet they commit sins, and they commit sins openly, and they refuse. There's a difference between a person who commits a sin out of weakness. We are all weak and we are all liable to sin. So there's a difference between such a person who before, during and after his sin feels remorse, shame and guilt, and between another person who openly says that he is under no obligation to abstain from such a sin. He is under no obligation to fulfill a duty or discharge a duty of religion, and that iman is only in the heart, and that as long as a person believes, and it doesn't matter how you live your life, a person can drink, commit adultery, commit acts of disobedience, disobey Allah and His Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam by refusing to even acknowledge the obligations, or if he does acknowledge them, then refusing to fulfill them. Some of us do live our lives in that way. And this, although may not officially stem from a belief that iman is only one's conviction and faith in the heart, and it requires no external application of abstention from sin and fulfillment of religious requirements, although this may not be the officially stated policy of such a person, either way, whether he states it or not, either way it leads to the same conclusion, that such a person, either in heart and mind, or at least by deed, appears to believe that iman is only faith and conviction in the heart, and he has absolutely no connection with deeds, so that whether a person does good or bad, it doesn't make any difference on his iman. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has devoted part of his book to relating ahadith, all of which show, especially in the Book of Faith, all of which show that actions are a part of faith. Actions are an integral part, deeds, a'mal, are an integral part of a man's religion. And the previous hadith also alluded to that, because the first hadith of this book of faith, which we studied in the last session, was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Islam, which I've explained on occasions and in certain contexts, can be simultaneously, can be synonymously and interchangeably used with the term iman, when it's used in its general sense to refer to religion and faith. So iman or Islam, either way, Islam is based on five things. Not just in belief in the heart, nor on just the proclamation of that faith with the tongue, but although the proclamation of that faith is a central pillar, There are other pillars also that hold up the edifice of Iman. And they are the establishment of Salah, the giving of Zakah, Hajj and fasting in the month of Ramadan. Now, many of us may mistakenly think that these are the only five pillars of Islam, and if a person does these five things, then everything else is okay. No. And that's why in the next hadith, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned the chapter heading as being Babu Umuri al-Iman chapter on the deeds of Iman, chapter on the deeds of faith. In order to show that even apart from Salah, Zakah, Hajj, and fasting in the month of Ramadan, all the deeds of Islam constitute religion and faith. And they must all be performed. Some of them are obligatory, others are optional. But in any case, either way, optional or obligatory, mandatory or optional, a person, if he wants to perfect and complete his Iman, he must fulfill the obligations and also try to do his utmost in performing the other good deeds to which Allah and His Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam have exhorted the believers. And thus the chapter is chapter on the deeds of faith, and the hadith is Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu relates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, Al-Iman bid'un wa sit'un wa sit'un sha'ba wal haya'u sha'batun min al-Iman. Iman, faith, consists of 60 and some parts or branches, and haya is a branch of faith or a part of faith. In some narrations, the same hadith has been related with the wording 70 and some deeds. Instead of 60 and some deeds, 70 and some deeds. And the meaning of some here is anything between 3 and 10, i.e. 60, above 63, but fewer than 70, more than 63, but fewer than 70. Or according to the other narration, more than 73, but fewer than 79. And the difference in wording may arise out of two genuinely different narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or most likely a mistake on the part of the narrator. But in either case, there are both sets of narrations in different books of hadith, both 60 and some, and 70 and some. And in some narrations, it's been clearly mentioned 70 and some. In either case, many ulama have enumerated and listed these branches of faith as have been identified in many different hadith, and it would be too long to mention them here, but suffice to say that in one hadith related by Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi, well, one narration of the same hadith, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Iman consists of 60 and some deeds or parts. Sha'ba means parts or branches. So Iman, faith, consists of 60 and some parts, or according to one narration, 70 and some parts. وَالْحَيَاءُ شَعْبَةٌ مِنْ And in that hadith related by Imam Muslim, the wording is, Iman consists of 60 or 70 and some parts. أَعْلَاهَا كَلِمَةُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَدْنَاهَا إِمَاطَةُ الْأَذَىٰ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ The greatest of all of these branches of faith is a kalima, la ilaha illallah. And the lowest in grade of these many branches of faith is to remove filth or something which is inconvenient from the road, so that it doesn't disturb or hurt or impede others. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says Iman is 60 and some branches. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَالْحَيَاءُ شَعْبَةٌ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ And haya. Now the word haya should be known to many of us. It's widely used in Arabic, it's widely used in the Indian subcontinent languages. And again, it's one of those words that should become part of our everyday vocabulary, because it refers to so much and it means so much. Haya, loosely translated, can mean all of and more than the following things: modesty, shame, embarrassment, but in a good way. Modesty, shame, humility. Dignity, self-dignity. And it can mean much more. Now, the word modesty itself in English and shame can refer to many different things. There's modesty in appearance. There's modesty in speech. There's modesty in character. There's modesty in attitude. There is shame. A person should be shameful, modest, bashful in one's speech, character, appearance, thoughts even. So haya refers to all of these things. And strictly speaking, haya is that feeling or that emotion that overwhelms a person at the time of feeling embarrassed or feeling guilty and remorseful, especially after having done something wrong or having something wrong attributed to one, even though one may be guilty or innocent of it. So the word haya is a very unique word, like many of the Arabic words, which incorporates so many different meanings, including modesty, bashfulness, shame. Now, a person can be bashful, modest, and full of shame and self-dignity and esteem in one's clothing, in one's appearance, in one's character, in one's speech, in one's attitude, in one's thoughts. When a person has haya in him, then he thinks before he speaks. He thinks before he acts, especially with regards to how he will appear before others, what others will think of him, how others will perceive his words and his actions and his behavior. So haya is a good method of control, controlling one's speech, one's behavior, one's actions. Because a person thinks, and if he has haya in him, then his haya can moderate even the wildest of his emotions and passions. If he is overcome by bestial passion to commit adultery or to commit an obscene act, and that's the passion and desire of his nafs, yet at the same time the man has modesty, the man has haya and bashfulness in him, then that haya would prevent him from acting on the dictates of his nafs. When a man thinks, both in terms of, well, especially first of all, in terms of the dunya, in terms of this world, what will people say, what will people think of me? How will people perceive my deeds, my words? That's what PR is all about. Public relations, ultimately, is about what people will think of an individual, a group of people, a company, an organization. So when that's filtered down to the individual, he is also concerned about what people will think of him, how he will appear. And all of that is part of haya. However, haya is also related to the hereafter. For example, a person being in this dunya, being in this world, he can feel the haya before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if I commit such an act, if I commit such a sin, if I behave in this way, how will I face Allah on the day of reckoning? How will I answer Allah? Forget what the world thinks of me, forget what the creation thinks of me, what will my creator think of me? So haya is a brilliant and integral part of one's faith. And a man who has iman, a man who is full of faith, will inevitably have haya and modesty, bashfulness, shame, self-esteem, dignity, integrity in him. But a man whose iman is flawed, a man whose iman, faith, is deficient, then he will equally and consummately be deficient in his haya, in his modesty and shame. And in one hadith, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, again related by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, says, "Inna mimma adraka an-nasu min kalam an-nubuwwati al-ula idha lam tastahi fasna' ma shi'ta." Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, one of the things that the people have found or preserved from the remnants of the earlier sayings of prophethood is that if you do not have haya, if you are not bashful or modest, then do as you wish. The Arabs had a saying amongst them, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. It was a common saying, it was a maxim employed in their everyday speech. It was one of those famous, wise, poetic sayings, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. If you have no haya, then do as you want. Do what you will. So the Prophet ﷺ clarified to the Muslims, primarily to the Arabs, that this common saying amongst you, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ, a saying which is full of wisdom, full of good advice, which means so much. This saying is not just the advice of a wise old man or the words of a poet. In fact, this saying is a remnant of the speech of one of the previous prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. People may have lost the teachings of these prophets. People may have forgotten their religion. But some of their teachings found way into everyday life and custom. And this is one of those remnants of wise, prophetic advice. So the Prophet ﷺ confirmed that the origin of this maxim, the origin of this saying is divine. It has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam affirmed it, that إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. If you have no haya, then do what you want. And indeed, when a man loses haya, when a man loses shame, he will abandon all good qualities and traits. He will not be embarrassed, nor will he feel any inhibition in doing something, no matter how grotesque, evil, embarrassing, obscene, lewd and lurid it may be. Whether it means committing incest, whether it means committing adultery like an animal, whether it means living like an animal, whether it means scavenging, whether it means killing, maiming, murdering, whether it means lying, whether it means being hypocritical, whatever it may mean, when a man has no shame, he has no morals, he has no scruples, he has no modesty whatsoever. He answers to nobody but his nafs, and his nafs is a wild beast. So, as the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. If you have no shame, do what you want. And thus, when a person loses that haya, he doesn't care what people will think of him. So much so that even Muslims who pray, who fast, who give in charity, who dress as Muslims, sometimes if they lose this integral concept of haya, then they behave so foolishly, so stupidly, that they make fools of themselves before others, but somehow they seem to be suffering from a mental block. They don't realize they are doing wrong, they don't realize they are making a fool of themselves, and in a very warped way, they actually feel that they are doing good. And they can't understand why people are protesting, why people are dissenting from their views or from their behavior, because ultimately they've lost that shame, they've lost that haya, which was a good bridle, which was a good instrument to rein in their passions and their stupidity. When a man loses his haya, then he will do whatever he wants. So much so that there may be a huge congregation of people, and a person, since he does not bother about what people will think of him or say of him, he might stand up in a congregation, in a multitude of people, and say something stupid, or do something stupid. Maybe he thinks he looks very good. Maybe he thinks that he will appear to be very intelligent, wise, and maybe learned. But little does he realize that 99.99% of those seated or of those viewing him consider him to be an utter fool. And there may be one or two idiots like him here and there who are impressed by his stupidity and shamelessness. Shamelessness just doesn't mean a person has to commit an obscene, lurid, immodest act. Haya is in everything. It's in thought, it's in speech, it's in character, it's in attitude. When a man walks, well, swaggers arrogantly, struts around, thinking the world of himself, he thinks he's handsome, he thinks he's strong, he thinks he's overbearing and overwhelming. And he struts around like this in his arrogance, be proud of his wealth, proud of his looks, proud of his clothes, proud of his social position, proud of his station in life, whatever. That stems from arrogance. And people are embarrassed by his behavior. So his own family members would look away in shame. And if someone asks them, is that your brother? No, he's not my brother. Father may deny his own son, son may deny his own father. Because he has lost haya, he has lost all shame. And therefore, a person who has haya will also be very modest, meaning humble. And a person who has lost haya, he will be arrogant. In reality, haya is the root of much good. And lack of it, or complete loss of it, will result in a lot of evil. Because as the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-haya, إِذَا نَتْتَحِي فَاسْمَعْ مَا شِئْتْ. If you have no shame, if you have no haya, then do what you want. And here in this hadith, Prophet ﷺ says, Iman consists of 60 and some branches. And then he says, وَالْحَيَاءُ شَعْبَةٌ مِّنَ الْإِيمَانِ. And haya, which I've explained, is a part or a branch of faith, of Iman. Now, question is, why did the Prophet ﷺ specifically mention haya, just one of the 60 or some, 70 or some traits and constituents of faith? Why mention just haya? Well, there are many reasons. One is that commonly people may not consider haya to be a part of faith, to be a part of Iman. Secondly, haya is one of those root characteristics of a believer which forms the basis of all good, as I said earlier, and lack of it or loss of it will result in the loss of all good in a believer. So haya is so fundamental in a believer's life. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wishing to emphasize this point, specifically mentioned haya and did not mention any of the other traits, which are 60 and some, or 70 and some, according to different narrations. Now, as the Prophet ﷺ said, there are so many branches of faith. And those branches include prayer, fasting, charity, zakah, modesty, humbleness, haya. And in that hadith related by Imam Muslim, which is very clear, the Prophet ﷺ said that Iman consists of 60 and some, or 70 and some, branches of faith. The highest of these branches or parts of Iman is the kalimah la ilaha illallah, and the lowest is imatatul adha al tariq, which means to remove filth from the path, and all that comes in between, beginning from la ilaha illallah to removing filth from the street. That removing filth from the street means that if a person is walking along the path and he sees a branch lying on the ground, it may seem innocent, it may seem harmless, but then there is a possibility that that branch or that part of a fallen tree, that obstruction of any sort, will harm or hurt or at least impede the progress of a child, an animal, an adult, man or woman, Muslim or non-Muslim, a brick lying on the road, some dirt lying on the road, some glass lying on the road. So if a Muslim, wherever he may be, sees a brick lying on the road, he shouldn't just step over it and think to himself that that's not my responsibility. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us values that affect the lives of everyone, humans and animals, believers or non-believers. A believer is one who, when he sees filth, dirt, something harmful on the road, on the path, even on the pavement, whether it's glass, whether it's brick, whether it's some other impediment, then a believer is one who takes out some time, who bows down, who will lend his hand, his time, and his effort to cleaning and removing that dirt or obstruction, in the hope that he does some good for somebody. And we shouldn't think this deed to be void of reward or to be trivial and insignificant. In a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there was a man walking along the path who found a broken piece of a tree on the ground. So he removed it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him his sins and granted him entry into Jannah for that one deed alone. For that one deed alone. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in that hadith related by Imam Muslim, which is connected to the hadith that we are studying at the moment, Iman consists of 60 or some branches, and the highest of these branches or parts of faith is a kalimah, la ilaha illallah, and the lowest is to remove an obstruction or something of inconvenience from the path. And here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically mentions haya. Now, before I continue with the next hadith, number 10, this hadith number 9 is part of the chapter on the deeds of faith. Now, in the unabridged version of Bukhari, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, after mentioning the chapter heading, Book on the Deeds of Faith, he has mentioned two sets of verses of the Quran, which ultimately speak about this, that Iman isn't just belief in the heart. Iman isn't just the proclamation of that belief with the tongue. Iman isn't just the five pillars. Iman means so much. And he mentions two sets of verses, and I will recite them because they are connected to this chapter of the deeds of faith. First of all, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi mentions a verse, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ of Surah Al-Baqarah, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبِلَ الْمَشْرِكَ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. The reason he mentions that verse is because it's been related by Imam Abdul Razzaq's Musannaf, a book of hadith, that from Sayyidina Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu was a companion, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, what's Iman, what's faith? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in answer to his question, what's Iman? He recited this verse of the Qur'an, Surah Al-Baqarah. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَآتَى الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَى الزَّكَاةَ وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ أُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. Allah says, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited this verse in answer to the question of one companion, what is Iman? Allah says, righteousness is not that you face the east or the west. Rather, righteousness is of one who believes in Allah and in the final day and in the angels and in the book, i.e. the Quran, and in the prophets. And he gives wealth despite its love to his relatives, to the orphans, to those who are poor, and to the needy traveller, and to those who beg and ask for assistance, and also in the way of emancipating slaves, and who establishes salah, and who gives zakah. And righteousness is of those who fulfill their promises when they make promises. And righteousness is of those who are patient and perseverant in affliction, in adversity, and at the time of battle. These are the ones who are honest, and these are the ones who have taqwa. So Allah, Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu asked Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what's Iman? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied by reciting this verse of Surah Al-Baqarah. That's the first verse that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi mentions in the chapter heading book, a chapter on the deeds of faith. The second set of verses which he mentions, which again speak about the same topic, that Iman isn't just belief in the heart, nor is it just the proclamation of that belief with the tongue. But Iman, and nor is Iman just the five pillars, but Iman means much more. The second set of verses which he quotes is from Surah Al-Mu'minun, from the very beginning, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدَ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعِينَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَى أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسَ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Allah says, indeed, successful are those believers who are devoted and humble in their prayers, those who turn away from vanity and falsehood, those who safeguard their chastity, and they approach only their wives or their concubines. Thus, such people who safeguard their chastity and only have relations with these two categories, i.e. their wives, their partners, or their concubines, فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَنُومِينَ. These are the ones who are not rebuked. Whoever seeks to fulfill his passion beyond these categories, then these are the ones who transgress. The successful are those believers who are mindful of their trusts, of their amanah, and of their promises and agreements.